Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 54, brought to you in association with David Lloyd Gym in Stevenage and boroughguide.co.uk. It's been a while, but here we are back and on the airwaves. Alongside me this evening, Mark Hollis. We found him.
Hello.
Dino Thompson.
Hi, Steve.
And we've got, are we allowed to say, a virgin guest?
Yeah.
Danny Wishart, long-term Stevenage fan, Stevenage Borough fan. Stevenage probably before that as well.
Just about.
Many, drummer boy.
You don't look old enough.
Many people would know him as Danny DeBase.
Good evening all.
What, Danny DeBase, where does that come from?
Oh, that was very much back in the day of early Barmy Army.
Mick Baldwin.
Mick Baldwin's Barmy Army. I was one of the original bass drummers along with Boise and took that moniker.
Is that Boise, Boise in Vegas, by any chance? Is he in Vegas? I don't know.
he's gone very quiet.
Yeah, nothing about it.
Facebook's died of death.
Actually, when we say that, got to give best wishes to Boise, because I think by the time this has gone out, he's,
yeah, well,
he's probably,
probably
Mr. and Mrs. Boise.
Probably best wishes he's to Julie, like, really, let's be fair.
He's made the honest woman of me, Julie.
So you've probably seen the likes of Mr. Hollis grow up.
Yeah, he was about 9 foot tall when I met him at the age of three.
Get older.
And he had a fuller beard then as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I've got gifts, by the way.
Mm. Oh, have we?
Ooh. So, Mark kindly told me as a first-timer I had to bring gifts.
No, I didn't say you had to. You just said there's anything I need to bring, and I just said we like to have
what I wanted to bring gift. Was a 10-piece KFC bargain bucket, but I didn't think that the purveyors of David Lloyd would appreciate us diving into the Colonel's special recipe, so I did bring some gifts.
Well, Rick and Lee, when they came on, they went for KFC before they came.
Have a pack of wagon wheels.
I love wagon wheels.
I love a wagon wheel.
Are they big wagon wheels?
No, they're not.
And because it was two for one, we got two packs of wagon wheels.
Had two different flavours.
Oh,
and two different flavours.
Look at that.
I couldn't come. It's probably not very original.
Epic inside.
Had to bring a little box of toffee.
Toffee.
That is original. We've not had toffee here before.
Great stuff.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to crack some of them open now, Steve, so we're not rustling all the way through?
Well, Steve surely won't want these.
Well, Steve won't.
Not the athlete that he is.
Steve's done 22 hours of spin class in the last 2 days.
So he won't
bring
one of
these.
Thanks, Danny. I love the jammy
ones. Chocolate. You having a dark or a milk?
No, dark.
Dark time for you.
That's the first of a couple of surprises we've got this evening, I'm sure, because I know a little bit later on Mark is going to come up with a new feature for us.
I've already come up with it.
Well, yeah,
I'm
going to
introduce it.
It will be a surprise.
Yeah.
And also we'll get some views. Danny is also on the SAB. Tell us about the SAB.
The Supporters Advisory Board. This was put together, just for those that don't know, by Barry Webber. It's a mix of 20 or so like-minded individuals spread from all parts of the ground, all different age groups, etc., where the ultimate goal from Barry's point of view is how do we fill the stadium. My opening point was we knocked down three of the stands, but I don't think that went down too well. But if that's the highbrow view, it's...
Are they all that minded, that like-minded, or does
no,
it get
they're
more sensible
a lot more
than
sensible than I am. But in seriousness, it's looking at how do we improve that match day experience right from the ground level, right the way through. And this comes into marketing, this comes into the food that you eat, the experience you have on the day. So we've been set into sort of two groups and we've moved out and we're canvassing fans' opinions. Certainly not a complaints forum, but obviously there's some negative feedback and it's what we do with that going forward to change that experience and just try and make it a better place for fans to come.
Good stuff.
He's taking his wagon wheel apart bit by bit. You're not eating it from the side, you're eating it from
when
the top.
When you've got a beard like that, you have to, don't you? You can't eat it like a normal person.
Well, he's good, isn't he, Danny?
Yeah, I was just going to say,
shall we go, Mark?
We'll come back to that. And there's a few things I think you want to get across, so we'll talk about that.
Good.
In a bit.
Where you been? Why haven't we been doing these?
Where have I been?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where have I been?
Well, we're trying to get you in a room, Watkins. It's difficult.
Oh, it's been difficult, isn't it, getting everybody together at the same time.
He had his 25th wedding anniversary lately, didn't he?
Who did that?
Yeah. Do you know how I spent that? Sat in a car
with me,
Mr. Thompson, travelling up to Bury.
Good.
Went down well with Mrs. W.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But what have you been doing?
He had a nice time. Me? I don't know, I've just been a bit A bit busy, really. I can't really put my finger on it.
Good. You've been teeing that joke up all week.
No, I haven't. It
just... Knowing that I was going to ask you that question. No?
It's just my razor sharp.
Okay.
Wit.
You've been on Reddit, Hoopsen, and 4chan.
Well, the last time we were together, I think it was the first week of the season.
Yeah.
I wasn't here.
So nope. We probably had about 15 games since then.
Yeah. It's probably best to sketch over quite a few of them.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, you
know, sketch over all the ones I haven't seen.
The good, bad, and the ugly.
Talk about Mansfield.
That's been quite ugly, isn't it?
There's been some ugly stuff in there. Mm. Low point, Oxford.
Well, no,
not in terms of results or anything, but certainly you come away from that game and you think that was a horrible game, wasn't it?
I actually quite enjoyed Oxford in a very strange way.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the last sort of 10 minutes when we were defending and defending and defending.
Because I think it was kind of us against the world in the last 15 minutes. Mm. It just felt.
It's just always like that when you go there, though, isn't it?
It was pretty evident from the start we were going to get absolutely nothing from the game. Mm. And it was sort of damage limitations. Can we just hold out till the end? And, you know, from falling asleep in the first half, I got quite animated and excited during the second half.
But he kind of admitted, didn't he, Graham, for the very first time, that he does actually listen to other people, because he said that Dino told him at half time that you've got to change it.
What, you?
No, as I said on the Borough chat, his head's really gone if he starts listening to me, which you don't normally get. You normally get it's all about Graham, isn't it, and his thoughts and attitude. But we went with that setup where he played 4-4-2 at Bury, didn't he? But then he changed to a 4-3-3 at Oxford and played Beardsley and Marriott wide with Lancaster through the middle. Yeah. Where we thought that the Beardsley and Marriott combination worked quite well at Bury, and we were only undone by a decent enough side, so I couldn't understand why he didn't stick with it. But he wanted to match their shape, but then he kind of admitted at half time to Dino that it wasn't quite working, and he went to 4-4-2 second.
I think the disappointing thing is it's opportunity missed. I didn't rate Oxford as I think they tried to play football but didn't play it very well. And I could count on, you know, how many times they just played square balls off the park
where
missing the players. And you know, that therefore is a game there for the taking. They hadn't won all season. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, they won the week before. And if we are going to do reasonably well in this division, we need to capitalise when teams are at their poorest.
Yeah.
And you could argue Hartlepool, even though it was 3 points, got spanked 5-1 the following week, and they got spanked the following week. And actually, we've just reached neutral goal difference on Saturday. How much have we missed out on capitalising on another poor side?
Funny thing for me about Oxford was I looked on their forum afterwards, and I was expecting to see the, you know, throwing everything at Graham and Stevenage and how revolting and everything, but they weren't actually. I thought a good few of them were sort of saying, well, I wish we were a bit more like that occasionally, you know.
Yeah, not losing.
They recognised the fact we were down to the bare bones, and let's face it, we were. And we'd dug in, we'd gone, probably to get a point, I'd say, and come away with it.
I walked out the ground, and I think someone actually posted this on Borough Chat, that some Oxford fan had kind of made point, you can keep your brand of football, you can keep your team, I would not pay a penny to watch that week in, week out. And it obviously struck a nerve with someone, and I was standing next to him because he felt the point of posting it. What he didn't mention is about 5 other fans around him said, my God, lads, didn't you defend well?
Yeah.
Script, steel, determination, you know, you really did dig in deep.
Yeah.
And your chips are down, you know, that's what you've got to do.
And I think that's the real positive that Graham's taken out of that, that, you know, we've had some fairly indifferent defensive performances, haven't we? But that one, all right, there was maybe live to charm life occasionally, but, you know, I thought it was good. Chris Day back in goal as well, has that made a difference?
Well, I was going to bring it up shortly, but there was a marked difference in the Mansfield win compared to every other game we've played this season, and that is on the pitch, Daisy.
It's the big Ashton, five, isn't it?
Darius, Ronnie,
Beardo.
And Beardo. Now, it might be coincidence.
Well, 4 of those were in the back five
as
well, with Dean Wells added in, of course.
What you have to worry about, think about as well as that, though, is that Mansfield are one of the worst sides I've seen down there in years.
Were they?
Yeah, but they're a lump, dreadful. Aren't they?
Really?
They get in the way.
I can't live with that.
I thought they were absolutely appalling.
I thought the two goals that we got in the opening 8 minutes probably allowed us to then pass the ball about.
Yeah.
Allowed us to play slightly different up and at them. Keep going, Dean.
Haven't you got through those?
Yeah, they're all right.
It allowed us to be a little bit more risque and actually play the ball on the floor.
They had two chances, didn't they, first
half? 38 minutes following, they were still well in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, they were
still
pressing us. And
it's like a roundabout, that Reed, isn't it? You can't win anything because you can't get his arse is too much out of back and then his chest is too far out of front. So you've got to let him win it.
I thought Wells would get him up.
And pick up his seconds as well.
Well, I saw a lot of comments that he was allowed to win a lot of ball in the air. You're talking about what? He's 6'4". He's going to win a lot of ball in the air.
Wells done well on it.
It's not so much how you defend by getting your head on the ball. With that, it's how you defend him knowing that he's going to win the ball. Mm. And I thought they did that quite well.
It's a second ball.
Yeah, I thought Wells beat him in the air.
He did. Graham made no bones about the team are direct. They are going to lump it up. He'd obviously seen them a few times.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. So it's not about beating him in the air. It's how you mop up the second ball and anticipate that.
I liked Wells on Saturday as well because I've seen him like a little, like an excited professional footballer going after every single ball. Even if he can't get it, he's gone after it. And he really shouldn't have done. But on Saturday,
cheerio.
He only went for what he knew he was going to.
He was a bit more measured.
Was going to get and.
I thought he was superb.
Yeah, he seemed to be measured, as you said, Steve. He just him and Ash, I thought was great on Saturday. I thought they'd done the job, and you know, Ash has got some stick off some of the fan base, but.
Was that to do a job though on the likes of Reid?
Yeah, just because you wouldn't drop that. You and I both had Dembele as man of the match at Oxford.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have dropped him for no reason, would you?
Yeah,
you needed that communication in the back line, and Graham's gone at pains to say it. And
what sort of communication do you get with Dembele? You can't speak a word.
Well, apparently you don't, because that's the question I asked him at Bury, wasn't it? Mm. After the Bury game, who did we play the previous Saturday? Anyway, Charles and Dembele swapped halfway through the first half, and then they started it. Whereas I said to Graham, well, Dembele's a better centre half than Charles, and Charles is a better left back than Dembele. No, he's not. Alright, I forgot to add on the end, in my opinion. But he says you can't have Dembele in there where you need to, where you've got a game where you need to communicate along the back four, because he just can't understand.
But then the following Saturday against against Oxford,
he was man of the match for me.
And he swapped him around. Dembele was centre back with Charles at left back.
Well, he just has to prove he does listen to me occasionally.
Dino or Dino?
Dino.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Mark, how many games? You've only been to two.
I have only been to two.
Interesting to know, because, you know, your opinion, because obviously we've seen all of them. I don't know about you, Danny.
Not away, but I've seen everyone at home and half the aways.
What's your opinion of where we are at the moment, then, Mark?
Well, on the face of it, it seems relatively the relatively inconsistent start that I would have expected from a squad with 17 new players in it. I watched the two games I've seen. One was the Johnston's Paint Trophy, which don't mean anything anyway, so I'm not going to say anything from that. And Saturday, where I thought the first two goals. The first two goals came from through balls there that are as good as anything I've seen down there in years and years. Pretty much killed the game off. I thought Mansfield were poor, but they still could have got back into it.
Now, there was an opinion that the goals came through some horrific defending from Mansfield.
No.
Well, there was some poor defending in there, but you've still got to be able to pick that ball between the fullback and the centre back at the perfect pace, which happened twice.
Yeah. Who played the first one through at Webdale? I can't remember.
Pet, I think, wasn't it? Or Pet. Did he do the second
Beardo
one?
Played the Beardo, second one.
Beardo was the second one. Split them, didn't it?
Fantastic. And, you know, I thought there were some real promising performances in there. I thought Dean Wells was superb. I thought Tom Pett was superb. Rory Deacon looked like a footballer. for the first time ever.
Where did that come from? Where did that come
Rory
from?
Rory Deacon, from his first pass to Whelpdale that was 10 yards behind him was the Rory Deacon that I know. And the rest of the game, it was like it was a different geezer.
I can't.
Some of me sometimes want to see more Rory, more game time. But play what you're playing against you. 20 minutes to go. You've come on.
But yeah.
Mansfield are looking leggy. He's roasted that guy. And he was 4 yards off him when he pushed the ball past him, round the blind side. And I think that was. I think we'd had a similar move just before it where we squared the ball and it was in the back of the net and we were sort of knocking on the door. But, you know, don't score it, they score one. It's game on, there's still 20 to go. But he was a revelation.
Yeah. He's a player I've really wanted to like, Rory Deacon. But,
but you can't. But
you have to kind of reserve your judgment, don't you? Because really you're thinking, oh, that's not really what delivering what I'm expecting. But Saturday, if we saw that from him every day. I mean, it's almost a little bit of the Shrewdy about him, wasn't it? Not the way he played, but in terms of you give him the start and perhaps he doesn't deliver, but he comes on off the bench and he's
done
well.
What summed it up for me with Rory is we were going borough chat after Oxford or before Oxford and everyone's going through players. He's not playing. Why is he playing? Why is she not playing? Da, 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 da. Nobody mentioned Rory was missing from the squad with a knee injury, and that kind of sums it up, that he is kind of almost the forgotten man of the squad. He's there and he don't do very much.
Begs the question though, is that what Graham sees in training every week? What we saw in 20 minutes on Saturday?
Well, if you are not as fit to last 90 minutes but you can put your 100% energies into 25 good minutes, then that's the way you should be used. A couple of weeks ago, Dino, you were talking about response to quite a lot of chat about overtraining.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting, that, you know, there seems to be this rumour, this opinion going around the club, emanating through borough chat, and you know, they're overtrained, which I can't believe, because I see half of them down David Lloyd by 2 o'clock.
Yeah. It's true, they're not. And I believe this week, after Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. When have you ever heard that from a Graham Wesley squad? They've got 2 days off.
Time off.
Going soft.
Isn't it?
Disgusting.
But there you go.
Ahead of Luton. God, I love his guts for guards when we get beat Saturday.
So, you know, as you say, you were in here yesterday, Steve. Dino is down here, and then you say, Dan, they're down here. But that is part of their training schedule. Okay, that's us done for the day.
It's their warm-up.
Now go and do your own personal stuff in the gym and get in the pool.
Well, at the end of the day, their fitness is the tools of their trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
We weren't overtraining when we won the conference and got promoted out of League Two and made the playoffs in League One.
No, exactly.
Were we overtraining then?
Mm-hmm. Well, during those days,
I think he was working
here then, and you would see 6 or 7 of them in here every evening.
The difference is we have some young players that are in their first season in the Football League. You know, we've got half the team that have got 200 caps between each under their belt, and we've got half the team that have got 4. Each.
You've been listening to Ronnie Henry, haven't you?
Yeah. I did listen to Ronnie Henry.
And so you should.
It was a well made point.
Yeah.
I tried to listen to Ronnie Henry's thing earlier. Couldn't get up.
Those youngsters are not going to be able to just dive straight into 90 minutes football week in, week out, having had 5 days on the training field or 5 afternoons.
And we saw that Saturday, didn't we? Well, the only kid in there on Saturday was Tom Pett, who I think is going to be.
I thought he was great. Saturday.
A revelation for us. And you know, he will be better than Luke Freeman. I've sweated on that a few times this season when I've seen some of his performances. But he will be, because it's there, I can see it. He just needs the guidance and the coaching and that.
He had a good 10 minutes
shooter in. Yeah, he had a good 10 minutes back in July.
Tell you what, I loved watching Beardo again Saturday.
Did you? What was that?
I've missed seeing him. Just because he was doing what Beardo does. And we haven't had anybody that's done it since.
Well, that was Beardo. That was the sort of Beardo that we all know.
Great.
I was going to say loved. Not everybody loves it, but
no. People, you know, some of the initiated want 20 goals a season from their top man, don't they? But
he got a little taste of his own medicine, though, didn't he? He went up for it and made clatter. <didn't>
he was great though to see the two yanked off at half time, wouldn't it? After Beardo had read him up.
Yeah.
JD, job done. Thank you very much. There's one.
I'd love to know how that conversation went with the referee.
Yeah.
Because that number two didn't stop, did he? And the referee had to keep calling him back.
Yeah, he must have really reared him up.
Yeah,
he's a big, strong lad, though, Beardo, isn't he?
Beardo, he had a good battle against Oxford.
Yeah,
with the fullback that
the muck something, wasn't it?
But who was having an awful opening 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But the two of them had a right proper tussle. They were going in hard, shaking hands after it. And that's what Beardo does at best. He unsettles people.
Yeah.
He won't be 20 goals a season.
Was that Newey?
No, the other one, the other side. Next to him, no, the third centre half. Yeah, I can't remember his name now, but it was exactly the same. But I read through the programme and I remember reading Riddell Gordon's interview and then Chris Day's interview in the programme this week. Which of your teammates do you think is going to be a manager? And both have said Chris Beardsley. So you know he just shares that experience he's got with the others. He must be, you know, good to have somebody like him around. And you know, if you're not pulling your weight, I think people like Beardo and people like Ronnie are telling you in training, well, you know, what the hell's going on? And it's good to have that, isn't it? I mean, we, you know, Ash was captain last season and people said, well, maybe he's not captain material, but you've got voices in that squad now. You don't need that. I want the same captain leading the players out every week, but you've got your Beardsley, you've got your Charles, you've got your Day, you've got, and they're all going to work together to bring these kids through.
But it goes back to, there has been games this season where Daisy's been on the bench,
yeah.
Beardo's been on the bench or not in the squad.
Yeah.
Ronnie's been ever present, but he was missing at the start.
Yeah.
And therefore, who is your senior player on there giving direction out to those youngsters? Yeah. And
yeah, you could look to Walton or Lee or Welbdale, who've got the appearances, but they haven't got the Graham Wesley way, have they?
Exactly.
Well, we don't know if they have.
They've played for Peter Taylor for crying out loud. I mean, they probably haven't.
They haven't got it drilled into them. They might buy into it, but they haven't got it drilled into them. I wouldn't have thought it's second nature yet.
I'm not sure they've got it drilled into them after what Charlie Lee said to them.
Mike over there's got a zip-through waistcoat on. Right, isn't it?
But
anyway, sorry.
When you, we've mentioned all these players. No, we haven't really mentioned Ronnie Henry. I mean, again, it's just like it's not been away, is it?
Yeah.
Someone straight back in.
Someone summed it up for me on Saturday. I think I can't remember who it was now, but just said to me, Ronnie Henry, just you hardly even notice he's there.
Yeah. Because what was his first game?
He just does what he does, and he very, very rarely makes a mistake.
Yeah.
He's the Stevenage's Phil Neville.
Yeah, and you just
better looking.
Yeah, he very rarely does he do anything that makes you go, wow, but at the same time, I can't remember Ronnie Henry ever doing something. Like, oh, Jesus Christ almighty, what have you done there?
Oh, he starts to just crosses him.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Proper crosses.
I shouted out, oh no, we're going to get a Ronnie cross. And he put it straight in the mix, and I was
hello. There's a lot of overlapping from him as well.
Yeah,
he was a centre-half when he first came to the club.
He's
now right back. I think, in fairness, Graham moved him right back,
yeah,
didn't he?
And he said he'll play his best football at right back, didn't he? And,
yeah.
And we're all going, what are you on about, Wesley?
And even now, everybody's like, oh, he's going to be too slow for, you know, right back and everything. He's coming back. He's an old man now. Well, he's as good as ever.
Well, I still play right back and I'm an old man, so for the Borough fans.
I bet you don't go on those overlapping runs though, then.
Not so much these days, no.
And why did he lose the armband? One of the greatest moments in football television history, wasn't it?
What was the channel? Satanta Sport.
He had to introduce the team, didn't he? And he introduced Gary Mills as Gary Wesley.
Right.
Can you imagine what training must be like every day with that lot?
You've just reminded Graham of that. He'll be listening to this now and he'll be
Ron.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Right, get the armband off him.
Gary West.
You're playing
brilliant.
For Luton Saturday.
That takes some balls to do that though, doesn't it? Live on TV.
Satanta Sports. What was her name? Who was the anchor woman? She was lovely.
Rebecca Lowe.
That's it.
Yeah,
and Steve
she's gone to America now,
Steve
hasn't
Bell
she?
Was the commentator, wasn't he?
Former talkie and Luton manager, knows.
Yeah.
Anyway, less of that. What about the armband?
I think it's ridiculous. Just stick Ronnie, he's got to lead the team out every week.
Players worn it, haven't they?
Just confuses
Ronnie,
matters.
Well, matter why? What confuses what?
Bondi.
If a few players have worn it, and therefore Graham's opinion is they're all leaders. It's
just who he leads the team.
It doesn't matter who really wears it, just put it on one person because he's identified four or five leaders.
Mm.
So they all should be leading that team.
It's gone to all the pros, isn't it?
Well, Wellesley had it as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Wells had it. He had it for the first couple of games, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah. I don't care.
Give it to Ronnie, let's be done with it.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No. I just add that bit of cutting insight.
Thank you.
Mark doesn't care.
Who else do we need to be nice about? I think that's about it, really.
You're thinking hard there.
Yeah. No, I don't care if I upset anyone else.
Well, what do you want to see now, though? I mean, do you
want
to see more?
Well, I want another
Saturday
win. I want back-to-back wins now.
I mean, we can get too carried away with
We've
one
seen two clean sheets. We need another win.
I don't mean get carried away on Saturday's performance. I thought it was all right. I wouldn't have said Saturday was was a brilliant performance. I thought there were some good individual performances.
I thought some passages
of play. I think if we'd have come up against a better side than Mansfield, do you know what? Even if we'd have hadn't got those two early goals, and
I believe the early goals were a bit masking tape.
To be honest.
If Matey could have jumped slightly differently,
if Matey could have jumped, he'd have scored twice.
What, that Reed?
Yeah, they hit the post. And I thought they were naff.
When you're 2-0 up, it's a different game from when it's 0-0, isn't it? And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's up to the opposition to come at you and get what they can then, and maybe you've got to.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Yeah, I didn't walk out of the ground going, oh my God, I've just watched what a fantastic performance. And
we've got
3-0 did them a favour, and it could have been 5 or 6. So I came out of that ground thinking, Jesus Christ, on another day, we could have drawn that 2-all.
I loved that third goal, I have to say.
Brilliant.
For me, that was superb. Yeah. And a big player instrumental in that is another player who I think has got a future, young Tom Conlon.
He's a proper footballer.
He's
for a 12-year-old. and Conor, yeah, but Colcutt came on. He had a chance. Yeah. He just couldn't keep his head down. Yeah. We had chances. They could have scored. We could have scored more than three. All right. Yeah, it probably wasn't an 8 or a 9 out of 10. You're probably right. It's probably a 7 out of 10.
I suppose looking forward, it's what team are we going to look like when we've got the full squad? You know, good to see Parrott back. You know, really pleased to see him.
Yeah.
And thought his shift. I was nervous he was coming back early because he seemed to be drafted in.
Well, that's
perhaps because of injury crisis.
And the same with Beardsley. He didn't get a subs appearance. Parrott got that.
Performance was superb from him.
Absolutely.
I just take my hat off to someone coming back from that injury as well. Because
Achilles in 5 months. It's ridiculous.
Cruciate, wouldn't it? It's so much psychological in that as well. You know, going in that first challenge, you've got 50. And there was one quite early on Saturday, a 50-50, and he's gone in for it. And, you know, you just take your hat off and say, well done, son. Because that must.
I think the makings there. There are the makings there of a very, very good squad. Very good squad.
And
we all said it, didn't we? It takes that bit of time, like you say, get everyone back to full fitness, and that bit of time of being used to play competitive matches with each other. I think it'll be fine.
I mean, what did Graham say right before this ball was kicked? I've elected to go for quality over quantity. I'm running with a small squad. You know, my first 11 is as good 11 as it will ever be against any club in that division. However, if we end up taking the knocks, then we are going to be stretched, and some of those boys are going to have to step up and play a lot of football. We have been stretched.
Didn't realise it was going to happen quite so quickly, did we?
And it's happened in sort of first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
And we've bundled through at 13 points, which.
Well, look at that Barnet game. We lost Ronnie and Beardsley that night, didn't we?
Mm.
Well, no. Beardsley was the day after, I think, in training, but it weren't a great game to sort of lose 2 year senior pros. But you know, and he's elected to go with Besant in goal over Day, whereas I would have always gone with Day. But there are people for and against that, aren't they? But for me, I thought
that's going to rumble on that one as well.
Well, it did with Arnold, didn't it? Arnold and Day was when Day wasn't playing quite so well. It was always people wanted Arnold's. But there you go.
Funny league table, isn't it? You look at
I don't look at it, to be honest with you, because it's too
early. Until Christmas,
is
it?
It's not too early, though, is it? We're only a point off the playoffs. I know we're still not even in the top half of the table.
but
it's still only a point off the playoffs, which we weren't anywhere near.
Well, I look at it as we're 7 clear, over 2 results clear of relegation. Now, I always do that for the first half of the season, because in my mind, I want to be 15 points clear of the drop zone by Christmas. And then I'll turn my head the other way and start looking at what we could achieve going forward.
That's an optimistic view, isn't it?
But it is just so tight, though, isn't it? You know,
but no one's going to run away with that league,
are they? Sides in the middle there.
Anyone can beat anyone, pretty much, can't they? So you're going to have a big gulp of teams from 6th to 14th with 2 points separated.
Yeah,
so
have won some games.
Can Burton sustain it, do you think?
Yeah, they're only a point or so behind us.
Yeah, I think probably Burton, Bury, they've got good experienced pros in there.
Yeah, I said Berry on the start of the season. Poo-pooed it.
I did poo-poo it. But
there's a lot of talk about it, spent quite a lot of money.
Having seen them that night against us, that was the best team we've come up against.
That was going to be my next question. Anybody frighten you? And that they
only
would
Berry,
be,
but
they would be the ones for me.
And we could have lost that 5-1, couldn't we, that night? But then we had a chance right in the depths of injury time where we could have nicked it.
Yeah.
And nicked a point. But yeah, Berry. But I haven't seen them, but you know.
Berry just looked
Mussino like and Aiken seem to be playing quite well for them. So,
well, no, they've dropped off, haven't they? Just
they've
a
lost
little bit.
Saturday,
they've lost a couple of games.
But yeah,
Berry beat them, didn't they?
The other teams that came down were like Shrewsbury, but you know, we beat them. But again, I don't think we could have had any complaints if we'd have lost that one 4-1.
I thought Southend looked half decent, but they don't seem to.
They can't keep it up. Don't travel too well.
I think the whole league is inconsistent.
It's Division 2, isn't it?
Luton were on the bottom knock-ins to start with. They couldn't buy a win. They got the odd draw.
and now they're four
on the bounce or something. And
yeah, three wins and a draw, wasn't it?
Quite good. Probably not the greatest time to play them, but...
Wimbledon look poor against us, but they've gone...
There you go. It's all a load of journeyman footballers all playing against each other, but for different teams, and some weeks they're good and some weeks they're not. And
a couple of surprises there. Tranmere down the bottom and... Oxford and Carlisle,
somebody tipped Carlisle win the league, didn't
they? Who would that be?
Okay, alright,
well, we'll talk about Luton, I think, towards the end of the podcast. Have you got your little surprise for us?
Yep, I've got a new feature, haven't I?
Have you?
Yep.
I've got a bit of paper.
It always worries me when he pulls out the paper. Is it a game? Or
it's a game, a little game. A little game for everyone to play. Nice and easy. You can't get it wrong. It's, Danny's got the iPad with him, so he might be able to. If you can get onto Borogide, you'll be able to. You'll be doing all right at this.
I'll perhaps adjudicate.
The name of it, it's not as catchy as Stephen Dean gets the thing from a game what happened years ago.
No, because that really rolls off the tongue.
So just, that's what I'm saying. This one, and I can do this because he's one of the few old people on the BBC that haven't been done a new tree yet. This is based on good old Brucey, and it's a game that I'm titling very cleverly, Player Your Cards Right. Okay, so the idea of the game is I've picked a season, and I'm going to start you off with a player and a name and a number of appearances that season, including sub appearances, all total appearances, not starts, not sub appearances, total.
Okay.
Your job then, as we go through this list of 34 players in the 07-08 season.
What, we're doing that now?
Yeah.
34 players?
We haven't got to do 34. I'm just saying we've got 34. And you just got to say whether the next one made more appearances or fewer appearances than
or higher or lower, as Bruce would say.
Or higher or lower. And okay. You get nothing in this game for a pair. We've quite deliberately gone through the list and made sure there aren't any.
So he'd be all right, because he always guesses, his first player guessing the name game was always on the bench.
Okay, they're so appealing. Come on, Steve, do your duty.
There you go, that's exactly it. I did have the theme tune up on my phone earlier, but I ain't got enough signal to... Right, so...
The microphone's over here, Mark.
Yeah, don't you... I'm just doing this. This is my cheat prevention. So what happens? Danny, you going to play?
I will play.
Good, right. In order to find out who goes first, there's an opening question you all give me an answer to. Person who gets it right or is closest to the answer starts off on their journey through the players.
Good kids, carry on.
Yeah. If you get 5 in a row, you get a point.
Uh-huh.
10, you get 3 points. And I haven't fought beyond that because none of you will. Okay. This game is based on players that featured in the 07-08 season. And all players with 5 or fewer appearances have been omitted.
There's a lot of geezers on there. Was that 5 or
five
fewer?
5 or fewer.
Right.
A lot of geezers on there that I've never heard of, to be perfectly honest.
Mark Ebayer.
Whoever gets the opening question right, I'll give you the first player. You get a choice whether you want to stick with that player or move on to the next one.
God.
Okay? Right, so the opening question.
Can't wait to win the speedboat.
In the past week, the opening post of how many threads on Borough Chat has had the word Luton in the title? Steve, I'm going to start with you.
What, how many?
Yeah.
What, define the past week.
The past week was from the first one that was posted Tuesday morning.
Oh, I'm having another wagon
through
wheel.
Till I finished work today at 4 p.m.
Let's go 7.
Danny,
I'm going to go 8.
Oh, less than that. Dean. So I'll go 6.
Right, 4.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I thought you were getting carried away with it.
I thought there were more than that.
So I win.
Clearly, some thread management going on there.
There were four remaining. I thought there was going to be 7 or 8, but there weren't. So, Dean.
Yeah.
You open up. Once you failed, if you fail, on to Steve, then on to you, Dan. Okay. Remember, you can change this first player.
No, I'll stick.
Number one on the list is Ollie Allen.
Right.
Who made, in total, 13 appearances.
Mm-hmm. As many as that?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting a pen.
Okay.
Right, this is a fantastic game.
People will be getting off at Finsbury Park in a minute and they're going to miss it.
Right, 13. Ollie Allen, 13. Your second player is Scott Laird. Higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher. Correct.
How many?
Higher.
Don't go into that. We'll be here all night.
With 15.
Ooh.
Next player on the list, John Martin.
Lower.
Dean, you're out.
Oh.
Right, Steve, so we move on to you. 0 points for Dean. John Martin in the 07-08 season made 34 appearances.
Right.
Good grief.
All starts.
I thought that was the season that Weser bombed him out.
Okay, Steve.
Right.
So your first player is Craig Dobson. Higher or lower than 34 appearances?
Ooh. I thought it would be an easy one, but because he made a lot of the benches when he didn't start, didn't he? I'll go lower.
Oh, it's a good shout, Steve. 31 times, Craig Dobson. Please.
Thank you. I was
doing this, so it's quite tight, aren't you? So you go.
That's like getting a king and then a jack.
Yeah, it is.
What about this one then? Laurie Wilson. Higher or lower than 31?
See, this is going to be early stages, isn't it? Steve, I'll say lower.
Mm. Good answer, Steve. He'd made 27 appearances. Next one. And this is a tough one.
This is like a 7 now.
Hang on a minute.
Paul Hakim.
You're picking the numbers here. It's supposed to be randoms. Carry on.
What?
Paul Hakim.
Paul Hakim.
Going to be lower.
It is lower with 8.
Came from St Albans, didn't he?
Yeah.
Callum Willock.
He didn't make very many more than 8 if he did.
Ooh. This could be tight. I'll go higher.
Oh, he made 9! Fantastic. That's a lovely bit of guessing from Steve. And for a point, Mark Arbour.
That's going to be higher.
It is higher on 32.
A
point for Steve.
He was one of my favourite players at the time, Arbour.
That was a point, Dean.
Okay. Yeah.
Next.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Daryl McMahon. Higher or lower than 32?
Dean, I can help you with that one, sure.
However many it was too many.
Higher or lower than what, do you say?
Higher or lower than 32.
Lower.
No. It's higher.
No, right. I know, yeah.
I'll settle for a point at this stage.
With 41 appearances, Mark.
How did he do that?
Right, so you're starting on Daryl McMahon at 41. You're moving on to Tesfaye Bramble.
Didn't he play every single game of that?
No, it's lower.
It's lower. 13.
Why didn't he?
Here's a bloke that everybody I'm sure remember. John White.
He was on loan from Colchester.
Higher or lower than 13?
Higher or lower than 13.
Was it a 3-month stay? That would have to be every... Oh, it's got to be lower.
He was lower. Peter Taylor.
It was lower.
6.
Yeah.
Higher or lower than 6? Fred Murray.
Fred Murray.
He was one of the worst left backs I've ever seen in my life.
Didn't we get him from Luton?
Luton.
Yeah.
No, he went to Luton from us.
Well, as you're picking the names and you know the numbers, I'm going to go lower.
He's higher. He made 13 appearances. So, Danny, you're scoring for the guest. 0. What a brilliant feature. Another quality feature from me.
Is that game done?
Fantastic. Game done. Steve wins this week.
So
1-0.
Who won?
All right, Graham. 1-0. Highest number of performances that season was Steve Morrison. 47 games, 47 starts.
So if we're both on zero, which one of us is bottom and which one of us is rock bottom?
Dean's rock bottom.
Of course,
it's
I
in
am.
Reverse alphabetical order.
Danny, no place for losers, so it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. So there you go. So this game will rumble on.
Graham only
Dean
has winners.
Versus Steve versus guest.
Thank you for that, Mark.
So Steve,
that's a fantastic new feature.
Tweet
can I just
in,
say?
Tweet into @oldtoffee with # player your cards right to tell me how much you enjoyed that little featurette. And if anybody wants to do a jingle, fill your boots.
Right. Yeah.
Moving on. Danny, tell us about the Supporters Advisory Board.
Quick diversion. What would you like to know about it, Mark?
Well, tell us, give us the premise and some of the...
Well, we've had the premise, haven't we?
I did that. Yeah, you did do that.
So, right. Let me just fire up the iPad because I don't like to misquote anybody.
Right, and then I'll fill you in on Fred Murray, joined from Stafford Rangers.
And I'm going to have another wagon wheel because I've got...
After playing for Cambridge before that, maintain.
Yeah, he did play for Cambridge before that, yes.
So with the SAB, we were set to task looking at a number of sort of key areas around... basically improving match day experience, and this went from thoughts around marketing and how the club features around the town, or perhaps lack of marketing. No point that anybody has raised on it has ever been pushed back to say it's a stupid point. Everybody's been heard. You know, some of the tiny little things that wind people up, but actually they're quite important. Things like the signage not being changed over for new games. Mm. You know, there is no reason why there isn't a man up a ladder during that game to go and put the next one up. However, the signage that faces onto the range, the amount of times that's been stolen now is unbelievable. And that's why they're not rushing to change it, because it's another cost to the club. They've tried bolting it down, screwing it in, all sorts, but someone is consistently stealing the name. I'm not sure who really wants a Shrewsbury banner in there.
Welcome to Stevenage.
Have they got a list of suspects?
Other things that are
maybe it's Bob Makin getting them, taking them up to Owlsey for sort of in 3 or 4 years time when he's going to be playing them.
Am I right in saying the Shrewsbury one did actually get nicked? Because I don't
that
know
that was the game after York, and I remember seeing some chap walking around with the York one,
right?
And somebody said that Shrewsbury was on the reverse side of it, so
right, okay,
that makes sense. But anyway, there's a couple of other things that have been brought out around our new caterers. And you know, it's important to mention this forum is not really a complaints forum. It's all about, well, if you're going to raise some negative views, what can we do about it to change it? And you know, the collective put together a number of fines around tea being lukewarm, food coming out of the food warmers, you know, being lukewarm. And to be fair to the catering staff, they responded. They put together a response to everything. They recognised one of the tea urns weren't working, so they've replaced it. They've altered the food warmers. They've now got between 20 and 24 staff working every match day. The previous incumbents was only 16. There were teething problems at the opening game. I think it was West Ham, where there were queues backing out everywhere. You know, these are young people, new company. They are really working hard. People have raised points about why can't we adopt the Kidderminster Harriers model and have some of the stews and shepherd's pie is being looked into. You know, no ideas are bad ideas. So there's some real positives. You know, milkshakes have gone down well.
Milkshake is brilliant.
You know, the complaints now are not about the milkshake, but they're too warm. So, you know, have one in November. It'll freeze your cockles off.
Who complains about that? I must admit, I had a schmoo and I thought... saying as cold as it could be. And we'll never, ever dream of putting a complaint in about
it. The one thing that does make me laugh is Cheesy Chips keeps rearing its head. You know, first, now the complaint is that the cheese isn't melted enough. We'll take it off the menu. If it's causing complaints, get rid. It's not important.
I love people.
Don't they flash it under the grill like they do at the Savoy?
See, now I don't like my cheese melted when I have Cheesy Chips.
Well, it gets everywhere though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you drop
it
all
off your tray.
I was being facetious, but anyway.
Some of the other things that they've been looking at, again, this is all the low-hanging fruit, bins not getting emptied. You know, now they've got all these Schmoo cups going in there. Yeah. Is it sufficient? Can we not have some big vats at the either end of the terrace to lob them in?
Well, just little cups, tiny Danny, things like that. We've
got the new bar. You know, it's been a direct result of fan feedback.
Did that open the last game?
It didn't. Just they said there was some supplies issue, and that wasn't the beer. It was more to do with how they dressed the area in order to make it Football League compliant.
Right. Have they got have that behind the north stand?
So
have they?
What it is there's a cage been built. It does look a bit caveman like, but a cage has been built that will serve 80 people out of the east and 120 on the north. It sounds like the wrong mix, but you've got to work with what you've got to work with. Mm. So the SA hut is going to be the serving hatch, which can serve both areas. You can't transfer between sections, hence why they have to have two designated areas. You can't show your glass to the pitch, as you know, with Football League rules, so it's got to be blocked in view. But one of the biggest differences, it will be open from 1:30 till 5 o'clock. So if you've had enough of the first half,
it's not even half.
It's not 5 minutes before half time and thereafter.
Right.
You know, if you've had enough after the first half, then go fill your boots second half.
So if you're on the,
we could get around that.
So if you're on the, if you're on the east,
yep.
Where have you got a where have you got a stand? There is a block.
If you think of the open north terrace, the open side, so left hand side, if you're looking out onto the pitch. Behind there, that will be blocked from view.
Right.
So you will be. You'll
so
be
only a
there.
Certain amount of people can go
so
in.
So it's
going to
be managed by stewards. Right. They will click you in, click you out.
Right.
You know, one of the key things that Barry mentioned was, if it's abused, he will shut it immediately. And abused meaning sneaking your beer back onto the terrace. You know, you will be ejected, and he'll close the bar.
Because, well, they did at Barnet, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They kicked three blokes and a kid out because they brought their beer glasses round to the.
So Carlsberg are sponsoring it. They're supplying the beer. It won't be to everyone's taste. It will be. There'll be teething problems. People will say it doesn't cater for me because I like cider, Mark, and this, that, and the other. But you know, it's a start. It's
and
temporary.
Hopefully, you know, the feedback, and if it's a success, it can grow.
After all, the plans are in for the new North Stand. Mm. That's looking at a 2016 build. This is a temporary stopgap. You know, there are only really three vices in football, and that's drinking, smoking, and eating. And, you know, they're working to cater to all fans for all. Unfortunately, the West Stand does miss out. And
I was just going to say, what about the dear old folk in the West?
So we discussed this at length, and it's principally around where to put it.
Yeah.
Because with licensing laws, you can't go outside the boundary of the ground, so you can't open up an exit because of health and safety, and you can't put temporary bars in there. We've looked at taking walls down next to the north end of the West Stand, where there's some trees behind it, and realigning the ground's infrastructure. According to Barry, he's looked at every possible, and he's had people look at it, and unfortunately can't cater for the West Stand, which, you know, it's a disappointment, but you can only do what you can work with.
So at the moment, if people want a beer, they've got to be on the west
on the east,
or
north.
East or north.
Yeah,
I remember,
or be able to go an hour and a half about one.
Well, this is what the point I was going to make. I remember when the smoking ban came in, and Phil Wallace said at a fans forum, somebody brought up, well, can we not nip out for a smoke? He was like, can't you go 90 minutes or 105 minutes without a smoke? I'm sure, you know, people like you, Mark, down their pint at 5 to 3 and you're back in there by sort of 10 to 5, aren't you? You can sort of, you can live with that.
I very rarely drink at football these days, unless I'm going away. I'm responsible, aren't I? Am I right in thinking that they're opening the tiny little gripe? Am I right in thinking that's going to open this weekend?
Don't know. So
it's supposed
to be open for Mansfield.
It was supposed to open last week,
yeah,
but it might be open for Saturday.
Really
seems
don't know.
An odd game to trial it at.
Yeah,
I'm perfectly honest.
If I was a betting man, I'd say it probably won't be.
No. I'd imagine there'll be a private function on in.
That'll be nothing to do with the Luton game. I'm sure they'll tell us that the supplies still haven't turned
up
and they're
arriving
on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But it's all positive.
It's good.
Yeah.
Other things that they talked about were the Luton game, the upcoming Luton game, and fans' concerns around segregation and things like that. And, you know, to be fair to Barry and his team, they made a really good pitch to us about what is happening, about how the sales are going and how they're being conducted in terms of ensuring that Luton fans aren't buying tickets. And if there's a couple of Luton fans in our end, does it really matter? What I'd be more concerned if there was 90 that were only intent on winding up opposition fans, shall we say. the game will go off absolutely fine. There'll be a heavy police presence, and police are all over both Stevenage fans, you know, lunchtime drinkers in the Old Town, and Luton fans. They know all their movements, and I've certainly got no fears.
I'm most worried about people trying to make out that we've got some big rivalry with Luton at the minute. We might have one.
We've only played each other.
If we stick around in League Two, we might
have
one. If you know, we have a few years in League Two, we might build one. But Jesus Christ Almighty, we used to have all this fuss when Barnet used to come up here, did we? Are Luton really that bad? I can't.
It's a local derby by location.
Jesus wept.
That's it.
You know, I think it developed because we were quite close in the league table for a period of time, wasn't
not
it?
Not at the end, Dean, not at the end.
Not at the end, no. But January, February,
good
March.
Good luck in the playoffs. Good,
yeah, well, there was that, wasn't there? That word from the that we heard that came from
messing
the director's box from one set.
I think younger fans, isn't it? They have no history of Woking or Hitchin or any of those other clubs.
No.
And, you know, as you get to your teens and early 20s, you want something to hang on to. You want to forge a rivalry, and they seem like an obvious choice, but I don't see them as rivals. I see them quite insignificant to me.
Yeah, sure.
So, anything else that they're
coming up? We haven't had alarms in for quite a while there, didn't we? I like it, Dan.
Just have a quick look. we talked about the Borough bus.
Good idea, that. I like that.
Has that happened this season yet?
Well, Barry's highbrow view is he would like to run 6 buses on a match day from around the surrounding areas, but that comes at a cost.
Yeah.
And we've been discussing ideas about fans' involvement in paying for that. Now, let me just put that into context. Some clubs run all sorts of schemes for raising money for some of these extra events, such as, and this is my idea, so I'll put it out there, you pay X amount and you become a squad member. You get in the official team photo, you're on the back of every programme. You know, that's got to be to a company or something, or an auction, that's got to be worth a couple of £1,000 or something like that. But those kind of things, I think Barry said it would cost £50,000 a year to run 6 buses. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, he's very keen to get to the surrounding areas. We've done a hotspot analysis looking at support and where it comes from. And no guesses, it's not entirely from Stevenage. But East Hearts seems to be quite a hotspot. There seems to be quite a few East Hearts Borough over in the Hertfordshire area. Sorry, did I say something? I wasn't supposed to.
No, you carry on, Danny.
St Albans, Hatfield.
People come from St Albans to watch Stevenage, do they?
Really? Hatfield, the villages, Buntingford around there. Not so many from Hitchin, but
Great
you wouldn't expect because it's a bit of a Luton stronghold. But, you know, we have 26,000 on our database or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot when you consider
you get 3,000 people through the gate, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you'll only fill a ground if the product's right on the pitch, and that's recognised. And one thing we do try and avoid is talking about what's going on the pitch, because you just get embroiled
sure
up into
true.
Your
I'm not
own
sure that's
opinion.
True anyway. There was a lot of good stuff going on the pitch years ago, and we still didn't fill the ground.
Yeah. Look at Oxford.
Something more than performances on the pitch.
Oxford used to get, what, 6,000-7,000?
4,500, wasn't it, the other week?
Where have they all gone? It's all down to what happens. Bottom line. I mean, but people like us would go whether we were, you know, if we were dropping through the leagues like bombs, wouldn't we? We'd all still be there and back in sort of Conference South or in the Ryman League if we got this. But
the only way I can ever see that filling up pretenders if something absolutely ridiculous happened and we ended up with some overseas takeover ploughing in.
Yeah.
You know, multi-million pounds worth of money and buying leagues and all of that, and a new stadium and all, you know, all that really big excitement that would capture the imagination of people that just don't
I think
care.
The North Stand will be a part of that process, but we are going to, it sounds like we're going to build, I don't know, 2,000 seats, whatever, which will possibly have 400 people in it. You know, I always think of Notts County, big old established club. You know, one of the
oldest club in the football league. Steve, I didn't know if you were aware of that. Yeah. Oh yes, they are.
But you think the size of their stadium, and still get 4,000.
Yeah.
I admire the persistence and all of that sort of thing. But I think
it's a generation thing.
You just can't make people care if they don't care. Someone was saying the other day, stuff we've tried in the past. We need to tap into Arsenal and Spurs fans when they're away. Well, why? Because when we're away and I don't go watch Hitchin. I'm going to go and watch Bishop Stortford.
Some people do, though.
Some people do. Not enough people to fill a stadium.
My dad will go off to local football.
Yeah.
You can't make people care if they don't care. And as much as we all want everybody to care as much as we do, people don't even want kids.
A great example is I brought a friend who's just moved to Stevenage. He moved the Tuesday before we played Hartlepool, and he's come down from Edinburgh. And I took him along to the first game. See, he is hook, line, and sinker. He absolutely loves it. So he's a Hibs fan at heart. He said, you know, it's a better quality of football. But he said the closeness to the pitch, the atmosphere that it generates, the connectivity you have with the players. He said, fantastic. He's been to every game since, you know.
Yeah. See, I have the complete opposite with that. But mates that I've brought down here look at it and go, it's all a little bit like geeky almost. I mean,
they're not Hibs fans, they're probably Arsenal fans.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know. As much as, you know, I'd love to come down here every week and that stadium be filled up and New North Stand filled up and all of that. I don't think it's an easy fix.
I don't think there is a one direct answer. What I do think the SAB are doing is some easy fixes.
It's a little bit unfair to put it on the SAB.
It's having a voice of the fans directly into the club, and the club are taking every single point back to the respective.
They can't do any more than that.
No, you can't knock them. And I'm not knocking them before somebody listens to this and starts digging at me on Twitter that I'm digging it. I have nothing but respect and admiration for people that are trying to do it.
What I think would be good going forward, and Mark Poplett raised this to me, is where's the publication of what you are doing? Where's the collateral to say, this is what you, the fans, about every 6 weeks. So I'm going to raise it at the next point, because if all the fans are raising points and we're taking them back in and we're hearing resolution, there's some things that we've been privy to that we can't just bring into the public domain.
Mm. But
where's the white paper to say, you've told us this, and this is what we've done about it, which I think will be really positive.
Just some minutes or something like that you stick on as a PDF on the website. Because it is for season ticket holders only on...
Yes, it is only season ticket holders, so not to discriminate against
anybody, but they see that
as their core fan base, for example.
Absolutely.
They're the proper fans,
if you had something like that came out regularly, I think you guys would pick up far more feedback from places like Borough Chat and places like Twitter that from people that aren't season ticket holders that do have, you know, still do have valid points and stuff. It'd be far easier for you guys to pick that up and be able to feed that back further as well. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Probably throw this on you, but if there is somebody sat out there listening and they've got this stellar idea, how can they get that to you?
They can either email myself or they can email as he just goes to his iPad. community@stevenagefc.com.
community@stevenagefc.com.
Notice I didn't give out my email address there, as I quickly found.
What about your Twitter? Can people get you on Twitter?
Absolutely.
What's your Twitter handle?
@DannyDeVace.
Okay, good.
With some underscores in there.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Or tweet us.
It's nice to know that there's some good stuff going on, and hopefully that will be.
I think there's always good stuff going on in our football club. I don't think we're that particularly good at telling people about it.
Yeah.
And I talk to Alex in community quite a lot, and
Alex is a prime example. Some of the stuff
they do is just amazing. And I did two nights last week down at the Broadall Suite.
They travelled to Africa once a year.
I don't know if I've mentioned
did
it.
You know
I don't
that,
know. And I did two nights. We did a quiz night on Friday night. We did a race night on Thursday night for the scholars. Darren Sarr was there. Glenn was there. I never met them before. Great guys, great scholars, all dressed up in fancy dress to sort of, you know, entertain the youngsters from the youth teams. We raised £900 over two nights, and that's for them to raise money to go off to the USA to play football in the States for a tour next year. Great stuff going on, but I don't see that coming on the website. I don't see that getting on YouTube. And I'm involved in it because I did the hosting of the nights, but I'd like to know about that if I was a man in the street supporter, you know. I'd like to see that kind of thing.
Well, maybe that's something we should be trying to do as well, getting Alex on and
and I was chatting to Glenn about the guys in
could
you
even
know.
Get Danny on, couldn't we?
Yeah. Well, Danny's done a good job here. You should be on commission. Yeah. Barry should be You should be getting all right.
I want to hear. I asked Glenn to come on and tell us about the scholars. He was a little bit shy too, but I think we'll work on that. And
is Glenn the fellow? He likes the
apparently so. Apparently
we
so.
We don't mind shy. We can do shy.
Well, the guys, you know, he's got is it the sub goalkeeper in his squad and Dale, the Irish lad, and who've made bench appearances.
I know that Glenn listens to this. I'm. You took a little shine to Glenn, didn't you? You spoke to me on Saturday.
I was quite chuffed that the inner sanctums of the club are actually listening to this ropey old podcast.
So Glenn, he did.
Whenever it comes out.
He was ever so pleased you went and spoke to him, Glenn.
Yeah.
He was chuffed.
Okay. And we know Graham.
Seen his little smiling, gimpy face.
We know Graham listens, of course. And we know Beardo listens, of course, because he pulled Ben up on his red card issue.
Yeah. No, he pulled me up on it. But Beardo, you were wrong.
Yeah. He knows who it was now, don't you worry about that.
Fine, that's good. Well, look, we better move on because we are running out of time.
Go on then.
Luton, Saturday.
Yeah.
Win.
Big game.
Well,
it is a big game.
It's a Division 2 game.
Whatever anybody wants to say about it.
There'll be 6,000 people in the ground.
No. Well, I'm not so sure whether there will be such a bumper crowd. They've what, 1903 I think was their attendance.
Yeah, if we've got more,
I think we'll have three in the ground. I think it'll be
five.
Let's not sound stupid.
I don't think there'll be any more than 4,500.
Let's have a big crowd. It'll be
well.
Nice
that's probably
be nice.
What? Yeah.
I think
that's what will be announced.
I think if the players are focused and they remove themselves from the big game environment, I mean, this will be the biggest crowd some of those boys will have played in front of. Or at least a big crowd in close quarters.
Yeah.
I hope the atmosphere is fantastic. I think we've got a chance to win the game. I think they've got a chance to win the game. I know I'm sitting on the fence, but you know we're both sitting a point apart in the table.
As you know, Danny, I work in Luton.
You do.
A lot of Luton fans kicking around, and they're an awful morbid bunch.
Are they?
I sat and had lunch the other day. I'd like to go down every. You know, being a father to a young child, I don't get it very often, just to sit on my own with my own thoughts. So I popped downstairs the other day. I thought I'd have lunch on my own today, just a little half hour, eat my sandwich. Bosh.
Closer to the truth than you think, Danny. Yeah. That.
Little old Luton fan, can I join you? Yeah. I know what you want. Straight off the bat, you come in. Yeah. Well, you know, we haven't been very good this year. I can't really bother to go. And I thought, oh dear, oh Lord. From the impression I get from him is that they ain't all that.
Good. That's the case.
I mean, they've won 3 and drawn 1 of their last 4, so I don't know what he's talking about. But
we've already said the league is that inconsistent.
That's it.
Catch a team on the right day and it's anybody's game.
The impression I got that it was going to be whoever wins would have been the less bad side on the day.
Yeah.
All right, come on then. Prediction.
1-0.
2-0.
2-0 Dino.
I think it will draw.
Two draws? I'm going to go 2-0. I reckon 2-0. Stevenage.
Okay. Yes, but
I think it might be 0-0. I think we might try and continue with that very defensive minded. Yeah. You know, 3 clean sheets sounds better than 2. He always built from the back, didn't he? So, yeah. 0-0, everyone disappointed with the crap game.
Might have Zola back, mightn't we? We might see Calvin Zola.
Have him back!
Yeah, he's played lots of 10 minutes.
I suppose if we have, we could mix it up and go long ball.
Just for a change.
Who have Luton got as much cop these days?
Pelly Ruddock.
Yeah.
Who's the big boy at the back?
McNulty.
Yeah. He's a big old boy, isn't he?
Yeah. They can't score a penalty to save their lives, but they're quite good at rebounds.
Benson's gone.
Did he go?
Benson's there. Paul Benson. He ain't been playing.
Paul Benson, is he the Paul Benson who used to go with goals for Dagenham?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'd like to think with McNulty at the back, that might stop us from playing long ball a little bit.
Oh, it's a long way round him, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Although I suppose if we've got Beardo hitting the channels.
They got Guts as well, haven't they?
No, that's McNulty.
Guttridge has been he's quite a threat. Yeah.
Insider was telling me they've got very little goal threat since they lost Gray. They don't get to the final third and don't really quite know what to do.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's
a massive local derby, Danny. So you know,
and no doubt three counters will be all
all over it.
Cool. Are you commentating Saturday? No. Or they got the big guns in?
They got the big guns in, don't you worry about that.
Who's in the
Does that mean we're gonna have you over on the East Terrace?
Dean doesn't go on the East Terrace. Come over. We'll have a couple of shandies before.
I'm in row F on Saturday.
He can't be seen on the East Terrace these days.
Only pre-season.
He did a pre-season.
I did a pre-season. That's my once a season.
Shades and shorts.
He's too scared to come stand next to me because he knows what a fool I am.
Okay, couple of things we need to remind people of. Mark.
Please vote for us at the Football Blogging Awards in the podcast.
I couldn't
category.
Do it today. You press vote and it didn't. Nothing happened.
Can you confirm what actually happens when you do vote? Because there seems to be a bit of a.
Well, you can vote in a number of ways. If you do it through their website, which is footballbloggingawards.co.uk, you can go on. They have a number of categories which you can vote in. One of which is for an established blog or something like that. So, you know, it'd be nice to put Borough Guide on that one if you can. Mm. But there's a specific podcast category. You haven't got to fill in every one. You can just fill in the podcast one if you want to. A load of old toffee in there.
Do you write a load of toffee or a loot?
A load of old toffee. Fill your details in, hit vote. You should then receive an email with a link in there that says, please click this email so that I know that you're an actual person and not a person.
I didn't get that bit.
If you haven't got the email, I would check your trash files or your junk mail.
But when I pressed vote, the page didn't change.
Okay, well, check your email.
I'll do it again tomorrow.
I definitely got an email.
Can't really vote. I felt a bit awkward voting for myself.
To validate my vote. However,
I'll give over.
However, to get around that,
okay,
you can tweet.
What are you laughing at?
This is serious. We were trying to win a prize here.
Oh, yeah.
Dino doesn't want to self-promote.
I think if we get nominated for this thing, it's worth 50 quid seats at them tables.
Are they?
Get a nice free course meal. It's at the Football Museum.
Get your votes in now.
It'll be a lovely evening out.
Will he have to wear a tie?
He might have to wear a tie.
Oh.
You can tweet at the FBAs.
On Twitter.
We'll do a tweet from Old Toffee. You can copy and paste it. Just put on there, I'm voting for a load of Old Toffee, and then tag us in there to in the podcast category.
That's
the FBAs.
Cause them so much, so many administrative issues.
They love it. The night's hosted by a not unattractive lady,
Rachel Riley
from Sky Sports.
A bit of skirt.
She's like, well, let's not.
Okay.
So you can do it on Facebook. You can do it on there. So yeah, we'd really like your votes because we fancy a little evening out, don't we? Where is the National Football Museum? Is it in Manchester?
Is it? We've got to go up north. I ain't getting in a car with him to go to Manchester again. It was bad enough going to bury him back.
It is Manchester. It's
Preston.
No, it used to be at Preston. Yeah, it's moved.
Right, so yeah,
south.
I haven't found it confirmed anywhere that we'll get free tickets at the tables, but I think it's only fair if we do get nominated. Maybe we'll treat ourselves.
Okay, fundraise. Can we
get your votes in there, please?
Pretty quick,
please.
Dino,
what are you paying to me for?
Race night coming up.
Yeah, Supporters Association Race Night. Me and thee as your hosts.
Why don't I get involved in this?
Well, stuff? I'm on the bleeding SA committee and I don't get invited to do any of this.
You could sell tickets. 17th of this month, October.
Right, just cut off. Danny's got to leave.
Thanks for coming, Danny.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks for the gifts.
See you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Right.
Yeah, we'll finish them off when you've gone.
We'll polish them off.
You can come back. You can.
Yeah, take care. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. 17th of October, Friday night before the Accrington game. Yep. Race night.
Okay. Excellent.
Pound a ticket.
And it's hosted by you and me.
Indeed.
That is really going to pull the pumps in.
And it just.
And I think...
He was all right, Danny, wasn't he?
I think
he's just our guest.
Yeah.
He took it seriously.
He did.
He'd come in, he'd done some research.
Unlike us. We rolled up at 5:05.
Do we want people taking it seriously? Okay, we'll be back. Well, we will be back next week. Hopefully we will be.
Why not?
Okay, so hopefully big day Saturday, we can do some. Let's get as many people in as possible.
James from the dugout. Well, he's always got plenty to say. Most of it's a load of old toffee.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. I'm talking.